against Satan. Most of us might think that it's like normal warfare, as per we have our troops, Satan has his troops, we're meeting on the battleground, you die here, you know. Many face-to-face fights. You understand what I'm saying? You know, however, that's not the nature of the warfare that we are warring. Huh? Are we together? The warfare is what you call clandestine warfare. Amen. Who knows what clandestine means? Someone should look it up. Has anybody seen? What? Kept secrets or done secretly. Hallelujah. Huh? The nature of the warfare is, at least you've learned one new word today. You can use it to impress your lecturer. The nature of the warfare is clandestine. It's secret warfare. It's like CIA type of warfare. Hallelujah. It's a kind of warfare that is very oblivious to people that are not aware. You know, right now in Ojodu, there is war going on in Ojodu. Huh? Right now. But nobody can see it. I don't mean spiritual war, I mean physical. Things are happening. Are we together? I was talking to a DSS guy. One random day like that, many years ago, I was still in university then, but in my village, went for village, you know, family thing. And one of my relatives, they had a DSS person with them. I said, yeah, I was just gisting me. And, you know, he was telling me that, for instance, now in Nigeria, in every single university in Nigeria, the DSS has students that are working for them. Are we together? Giving them information. They know all the courses. They know everything, you know. And they're like that operating in every local government area. Are we together? So that Boko Haram will not come and kill us. Are we together? Because as we are there like that, Boko Haram too is also planning. And they're also saying, okay, where can we bomb? Where can we attack? Abina. So, they are doing their own. The people fighting them too are fighting them. They are fighting themselves, but nobody knows that. It's just looking like people are just going about their business. You get, right? But underground, serious warfare is happening. Hallelujah. Amen. So that's what it means to do clandestine warfare. It's warfare that is underground. And that's the nature of the warfare that Satan fights with us. That's why in the parable of Jesus, Jesus will say that, you see, when Satan wants to spoil your life, Hallelujah. Amen. Are you guys listening to me?
Yes, sir.
Okay, please listen to me. Let's go to Matthew 13. Please open your heart. What I will say would be very, very important to your destiny.
Matthew 13, verse 25. Or 24. Let's start with 24. Can someone read to Someone should read 24 and 25 for us. Matthew 13, 24 and 25. Someone should read for us. So let's give her the mic. Is it this one? Okay.
Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So the kingdom of heaven is likened. Huh? This is Jesus talking about his own kingdom. You know, that's what Jesus Christ is talking about. And he's likened unto a man that sowed seed in his farm. You know, when that man did something and he was expecting a result. Abi? But then the kingdom of heaven, or not outside though. You know, it's the kingdom of heaven we're talking about. You know. Somebody had plans to destroy that man's expectation. Abi? And he did something about it. You get. Now, the way he did something about it, remember, we're liking the kingdom of heaven to this situation. You get. So, this person is an enemy of the kingdom. Are we together? So this person is a what? An enemy of the kingdom. And this person did not carry boys to come and, he didn't carry Omanile boys or something to come and burn the crops. You know? Why didn't he do it? Who wants to give an answer? This guy that came to sow tears, why didn't he come during the day? Let's give. Think. This is how to, you think with scripture. It's not just reading it. There's an answer for everything.
Okay, praise God.
Yeah.
I think if he had come earlier in the day, the farmer would have opposed him. I don't know. I'm assuming the farmer will not be working alone. But he came at a time when all the workers might have fallen asleep, basically.
Okay. Any other person? Think, why didn't he come during the day? Yeah, someone has an answer to give us.
So I think that he didn't come during the day because, like, if he had come during the day, they would still be active and they would be able to spot him. But during the night, the people were off guard because at night most people sleep. Mm. So the enemy knew that if he comes when they are sleeping, then they won't notice him. Mm. He will be able to do it.
Mm. Fantastic. That's such a fantastic answer. And both of you are correct. If they came during the day, he will have been seen. Are we together? And you will have fought him. You know. And remember, this is the kingdom of heaven, though. You know. Satan and God are not equal. It's not like Satan is a little bit lower than God. You know. Are we together? So, Satan, in trying to attack the kingdom, we always come at night. Hallelujah. Huh? What time will he come?
At night.
At night. In other words, he will do clandestine work. You know? When men are sleeping, he will send his, you know, he will jump fence. He will dig. Be fast. You know? And then they will go. They'll not do like nothing has happened. They'll just be cool, you know, managing themselves. So,
Do you understand what I mean by clandestine work and everything? Yeah. So that's the problem of fighting Satan. You know, it's a very problematic kind of situation. Meaning that when you want to fight him, he doesn't want to fight you. Are we together? Hallelujah. Are you guys hearing what I'm saying? Are you hearing what I'm saying? When you want to fight him, he doesn't want to fight you. He wants to fight you when you don't want to fight him. Are we good? In fact, he wants to fight you not even knowing, without you knowing that he's fighting you. Amen. I mean, now this guy now, when he woke up in the morning now, the first thing they will have asked themselves was, who did this? I mean, which is what they said the next verse. So the servants of the household came and said unto him, Sir, that's 27. Didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From when thence had it tears? Amen. Please, I'm going somewhere. I'm just trying to establish something. Because what I want to address is that these three people have not registered. That's why I'm teaching this thing. Yet. That's really what I'm trying to address. From whence did this thing come from? Hallelujah. You know, so the servants will wake up and be like, who did this? You know? Amen. Now, can you imagine that kind of fight? Is it a fair fight? Somebody is fighting, you don't know who is fighting. It's like maybe if you've been in a situation in boarding school or something where they take life, people just start slapping you. You're like, who is that person? Who is that person? You know? Has anybody been in that kind of... Okay, people have experienced good life. Amen. Fever, are you with me? Are you okay? Who is singing today? That's why you're serious, I mean, because you're in the spirit. You don't do anything to mess up your anointing. Because I've been seeing her since. She's just been giving straight face. See, I'm going to pray and the mountain. You don't want anybody to mess up your anointing. I was scared. I was like, did anybody offend this girl? It's good. It's good. It's good to be focused. So that's the nature of the person that you are trying to fight. Meaning that if you see Satan here now, he says, let's go and fight him. He will run away. He would maneuver, and then he would try and come back when you are sleeping. Hallelujah. And part of the nature of his warfare is to sow seeds. Huh? Amen. 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 Are we together?
Yes, sir.
Is to sow seeds. Part of how God also advances his kingdom is to sow seeds. Huh? What do I mean by that? It means that you invest over time, you know. So you teach things, you set up things, and then over time those things yield fruits. Hallelujah. So God is investing. Satan too is also investing. Amen. I want to teach you why you don't think normal. Okay? 28. He said unto them, an enemy had done this. Now, this is very, very instructive, you know, that what the servants can't see is usually the master that can see, or rather, the master has a level of foresight, you know, which you should also ask, how did the master know that is the enemy? Because no men were sleeping now. So that means the master was not sleeping. Are we together? Are we together? So, the master was not oblivious to how the enemy operates. You know, the master knows how the enemy operates. And the master can identify it. That's why the apostles will say we are not ignorant. When they were saying we are not ignorant, they were not talking to the church. Paul was talking to him. Do you get what I'm saying? Him and his own type of people. They are not ignorant of the devices of the enemy. So growth, let me show you what I'm talking about. Let me show you. Let's go to 1 John. First John 2, verse 12. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Let me show you what I'm talking about. 1 John 2, verse 12. I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. Hallelujah. I write unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. Huh? I write unto you, little children, because you have known the Father. Amen. Amen. So, what in John's eye qualifies someone to be a young man? Let's say it now. Overcoming the wicked one. So, the rite of passage, according to John, you know, that somebody is a young man, is that the person has fought Satan, or the person is fighting Satan. Are we together? So, warfare against Satan is very important. It's compulsory, you know. In your journey as a Christian, you get to a place where you really, really fight Satan. And when you fight Satan well, you know, you have experience. Amen. Amen. Are we together? Yes, so before you can even think of being a father, at least you need to be a young man first, you know. And the part of the major experience of youth is that you fight Satan. This is also why you shouldn't be surprised, for instance, that you would, you know, go to a school and everybody will get saved. It's because the people that fight Satan well are young people. Are we together? Are we good? Fantastic. So when you fight it and you gain experience, you understand, because the fight is a very, you know, like you said, it's a very technical kind of fight. It operates in many corners. Please, where is Anthony? Do you know where he is? Okay, can you call him? We fight in very, very core areas, and then you gain experience, and when you gain experience, you will understand how Satan operates, how he works, what he does, you know. And then you can identify those patterns. You can tell when Satan is doing somebody. Amen. Those things that you will identify will be things that many people will overlook. Are we together? Amen.
Let us go to I think Colossians. Is it Colossians? Oh, no, no. Second Corinthians. I think it's Second Corinthians. Second Corinthians. Hallelujah. Second Corinthians verse chapter 10. Now, I don't want you to forget. I want you to remember that the nature of warfare is planting seeds. Are we together? Yes. Meaning, Satan will come and plant. That's what Jesus was telling us in that passage. When men are not aware, amen, Satan will come and plant seeds, and then he will go away. You know, what Satan will do is that he will introduce a software. It's like introducing a software, because a major part of the operation is that he has to plant and go away. So he will plant and disappear. So that's why you will not know that somebody is fighting you, because the fighting is not you don't need to be present, you know, with the fight. The fight is to go and introduce something. Hallelujah. I remember you can destroy marriage by just introducing a thought into someone's mind. Or you can destroy a friendship. Huh? Many friendships are destroyed when somebody introduces a thought or a comment. Huh? People now that have a high level of ego, you know, all you need to do to destroy a friendship is to just say, wow, you know, people like this presentation more than your presentation. And some people, that day is enemy. Are we together? Are we together? So, in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, I really like this teaching. Are you enjoying this teaching? I really like it. I'm telling you the truth. This is the real teaching. You know, not the performance that who's going to perform for us today, DJ and Joshua. Impossible. They will come and give us performance, you know. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, I'm joking, no, they're not performing. No. Verse 11. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. Hallelujah. Huh? For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. Someone should read their own verse, maybe a simpler. You know me, I've gone back to KJV. KJV is what I was raised on. Okay.
We are human, but we do not wage war as humans do.
Okay, fantastic. You know. Is there anybody that uses KJV as their primary? Anyone? Coin, you know. Ah, things have changed, though. Things have changed. I tell you the truth. Kai, you. Bro, we need to be sure. All this modern thing that we are doing. Well, God help us. Things have changed. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling of strongholds. Can we say strongholds? Strongholds. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Pulling down of strongholds. What's the time? 12:27. Station. I must finish this station. It's very important. Because I've started. I can't leave you in suspense. You know, I've not gone to where I'm landing yet. For the pulling down of what? Strongholds. Amen. Everybody say strongholds. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. So these strongholds are not in the flesh. Are we together?
Sir.
Are we together?
Sir.
Huh? The strongholds are not in the flesh. It explains where the strongholds are, but the first thing is that the strongholds are not in the flesh. Because you see, you remember with all we've been saying, this clandestine operation, typically the outcome of it is that where you are fighting is usually not where the fight is. So if you think the strongholds are physical, you are wrong. You get. Amen.
Amen.
The strongholds are not in the flesh. So you can't use flesh weapons. It won't work. You understand? This is a very profound statement, though, that the strongholds are not in the flesh. Very profound. Because if I were to ask you, what is Satan doing in your life? Most times he will talk about the physical things that are not working in your life. Abi no? Maybe poverty. You know, it's usually poverty. There's not, you lack money. That's usually the answer of, which is true. The Bible says money answers. Most people's problem in life is money. Some people have serious problem, you know, but most people is money. It's a version of I need money. You understand? Even the person might not know, but it's still a version of I need money. So if you were to ask most people, you know, what is Satan doing in your life now? How is Satan fighting you? Especially if you come from a disadvantaged background. Which most of us, almost all of us are disadvantaged. I tell you the truth. It's Jesus Christ that is helping us in this country. It's only Jesus Christ that is making us have mouths. I remember when recently, you know, our president, our dearly beloved president that we are praying to God for, you know, I mean that we are praying to God for him, that he will succeed. But the suffering in this country is too much. So, our president went to South Africa and they put him in second row. You know, because they just inaugurated a South Africa president. So he went for the inauguration ceremony and they put him in the second row. It's a big deal. It's a big deal that the supposed greatest African nation is second. Just imagine. So first row, you have the important people, just like now in church now. Ministers, you know, then they put him. You get just like now. If the president should come here now, we put him here. You know, it's very somehow, you know. And people are making noise and saying, how can you treat the Nigerian president that way? You know, we Nigerians, we are the ones that helped you people during apartheid. Do people know what apartheid is? Did you learn about it in school? Did you learn about it in school? No. Wow. Okay. So you don't know what apartheid is? Some of you know. Some of you don't know. Chisom, come and explain apartheid to us. Chisom, come. Let's give her the mic. Let her explain. Don't clap now. She hasn't done it yet. We'll judge it to see if it's worthy of clapping.
So I don't like necessarily know as far meaning and whatnot, but I remember when our government was teaching us about that time South Africa was going through whatnot. So that's when
You don't know it. Who said they know it? Who else raised your hand? It's a clear thing. If you know it, you know it. There's no English about it. So nobody knows, or people are not confident. Someone else raised their hand now. Who else raised their hand? Ebenezer, are you the one? Who was the person that raised your hand? Someone else said they know about apartheid. Nobody knows. And Chisholm, give us the explanation. Let's see if it can work. Help us.
So is that, I don't know how to like explain this, but I just know like it was something that South Africans when is a government of, but there was a time that South Africans, I think they were in slavery or something, so that was going through. That's all I basically remember.
Okay. Okay. I've tried. So apartheid was a system of separation in South Africa. So in South Africa you have various races, white, black, Indians, and then the white minority, because you know the land is South African, it's black people land. It's Africa, it's black people land. So during colonial period there was a lot of migration to that area, white, Indians and everything. And then after the British left, the white minority, they were the most advanced, so they were oppressing the other races, mainly the blacks. And so they set up a system of separation between the races, so there's no intermingling. So whites have where they live. Black people have where they live. A black person can't work in a white company. Clearly, if you marry, you're dead. There's no, you know, if you just say one white girl loves you, you know, they'll cut your neck, you know. So they set up that system of racial segregation, and the hierarchy was that you had the whites at the top and the blacks at the bottom. So the blacks were living in poverty and everything. So they were just like now, in terms of living, all the whites would be living in VI, Ikoyi, you know. And then you can only even enter that place as a black person, maybe to do nanny or something, you know. Even when I say that jobs are separated, it's not like you have the same equivalent of the job. It's that the black people can only be, maybe they used to have mines. South Africa has a lot of gold and mines, you know. So the black people be working in the mines. They'll be the physical laborers of the economy. All the whites were the people in office, the people in government, you know, the people making money. So they had that system that was abolished in 1994. You know Nelson Mandela now? Okay, at least I wanted to say... Okay, why did I get to this apartheid thing? I was trying to explain something. Yeah. So Nigerians were saying that... And back then, you know... you know, you have like basically a lot of African, because Nigeria got independence in 1960, and then we were supporting anti-colonial movements on the continent. So we also hosted some South African rebels in Nigeria. We were helping them to fight the system, and then we gave some level of support, not only us, other people across the world, but we also gave them some level of support. So, you know, people are saying, I don't know, how can now in Nigeria we helped? In fact, there was a time where in schools, you know, instead of students would sacrifice their lunch food to donate money to send to the movement, the ANC. You know. So, people are saying that, how can Nigeria be treated that way? You know, in Africa, we are the giant of Africa, Abi. How can we be treated that way? That why will we be on the second row? You know, we deserve to sit with the minister. You know, let us sit at the front. We're important. And you know, all of that is past glory. Yeah? This country is not a serious country. It's not treated as a serious country. Inside the country, outside the country. But it's past glory that we are hanging on to. Even in football, look at who was following our recent football distance. It's past glory. It's 1998 that we won. I'll be 94. What year did we win bronze? That we gold in, I think it's 94 now. Olympics. People don't know that one too. Eh? What? It doesn't matter. Were you not taught? So you don't know when Nigeria won gold in football in? Eh? You've heard a bit about it. Ha! It is well, though. It is well. I don't know the kind of education that's... So, anyway, all of that is past glory, I tell you the truth. This country is treated as a... It's not even treated as a serious... It's treated as a joke. Eh? If you just manage... To just talk to a white person about how they really feel. You know, there's how people talk on TV and what they say inside. Do you understand what I'm saying? You know, if you just manage to talk to somebody about how they really feel, this country is a joke. That they even invited ourselves is a miracle. I'm serious, this nation does not have any mouth. Amen. Why did I come to? I was talking about disadvantage, Abby. Yeah. So you can say now that, see, so I think what I was talking about then was, you know, disadvantage. You know, you can see that most of the disadvantage is physical, meaning your life currently. But you see, there are a lot of disadvantages that you have that even you don't know. Amen. Are we together? Are we together? Please listen to what I'm saying. The warfare is not physical. So when you want to look at what Satan is doing in your life, don't just look at the physical things that are happening to you. There are other things happening under the hood or behind the scene. Amen. For instance, in this example that I was giving, there are many people that are praying to God because they've gone 4 times to the visa office and they rejected their visa. Abina. And they're saying, who is pushing me from village? You know? Now, some have been pursued from village, but actually a lot are not being pursued from village. Huh? The problem is that you're Nigerian. You get my point? So, the nonsense you are doing in your country is making people not want to associate with you. Do you get my point? So I was talking about disadvantages. I was using that as an example. So, just like now, some legitimate people now, they cut them off from, you know, to do international business now, we are sending money to and fro. As a Nigerian, it's frustrating. People, they've cut us. You know, everybody has cut us off. Why? Because the old boys have spoiled everything for us. Are we together? So, if, anyway, I believe you get my point. So that's an example of how disadvantages can, you might not be aware of them, but the effect they're having on you is very serious. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Are we together? Are you hearing what I'm saying? Remember, I'm still talking about why these three people have not registered for Summer Academy. That's what I'm teaching. I want to let you know why they have not. So, let's continue reading. In verse 4, it says, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds." Now, you might ask, what are these strongholds then? If these strongholds are not physical, Abi, now that's the next thing to ask, Abi. If the strongholds are not physical, what is then the stronghold? Verse 5, "Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." Hallelujah. So what are the strongholds? Or where are strongholds? The first area of strongholds is in the imagination. Are we together? The second area of stronghold is in high things. Now, this high things, it says every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God. So the high thing is in knowledge. Are we together? Sorry, I'm not saying anything deep. I'm just saying that the second area of strongholds is in the knowledge in the mind. The third area of stronghold is in the thoughts. Everybody say thoughts. 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 Amen. Is in the what? The thoughts. So you have 3 hours. What are the 3 areas? And thoughts. So, Jesus Christ will give you weapon so that you can fight strongholds in these 3 areas. In other words, Jesus Christ will give you weapon so that you can fight strongholds in your mind. Amen. Now, those 3 things are the 3 pillars of how your mind works. Your mind works as a result of imagination. Imagination is your creative. You know, you're the one that all those things of you just being in your house, just thinking, oh, when I become rich, it's not that big, you know. Do you understand what I'm saying? All right, that's your imagination. The second pillar of your mind is in the knowledge that is in the mind. Are we together? Huh? Are we together? It's in the knowledge that it's in the mind. The mind, what the mind can produce is as a result of what is in the mind. You get? Huh? The reasons why Nigerians will vote, stop blaming your leaders. If you give Nigerians the choice, which they have a choice, every election, Nigerians will always vote for the wrong choice because of what's in the mind. Do you understand what I'm saying? Are we together? Which is not the wrong choice, it's the right choice, because the system is that you vote for the person and that person is then the right person. So, it's not like there are some special people that, you know, that we need to kill. How many of you have thought that Nigeria would change if you can just kill 10 people, you know? If you can just kill 1,000 people. It's just 1,000 people that are holding this country back. If you can just kill these 1,000 people, this country will move forward. How many of you have imagined such a thought before? It's a very appealing thought, you know, but it's not true. Are we together? Because the way your mind is now, if you become that leader, you'll be exactly the same thing. It's the same way. No, I'll get there. Are you with me? So we have those three areas: imagination, knowledge, and then the thoughts. The thoughts is then the thinking faculty. Amen. This is where Satan fights. Are we together? And if you understand what I was teaching about at the beginning, about how the warfare is clandestine. Sorry if you're just coming, you don't know what that word means. how the warfare is underground. Eh? Satan subtly, everything that Satan is going to do. Okay, just like now. This scripture here says that there are strongholds in this mind. Abi? And it talks based on the fact that everybody has the stronghold in their mind already. Are we together? Because what he says is that you should pull down stronghold. He didn't say that you should prevent stronghold from being built. Are we together? So, the stronghold is already in the mind. They've already... Now, what do I mean by stronghold? It's like an old war term of maybe just building a guard post. Do you know what I mean? So a stronghold is like... Maybe like now, you just build a three-story building that you put weapons inside. You put soldiers inside. Then that place is like an army base. So, yeah. So it's like an army base, like a barracks. Do you understand what I mean? So it's like a barracks. It's just a place where soldiers are, weapons are. They've collected those things. So that's what the term stronghold refers to. And it's saying that in the mind, these strongholds have been put in those three places: imaginations, knowledge, and thoughts. And you are actually operating at stronghold level, meaning that when you start fighting with Satan, the stronghold is already there. So you started the battle from a losing position, if you understand what I'm saying. Do you get what I'm saying? It's not like the battle is to prevent a stronghold from being built. The battle is to pull down the stronghold that is already there. Amen. Amen. So all of us have, even though you think, and you know, but how many of us feel like there's, how many of us think that Satan has finished job on us? How many of us truly feel that way? That this way my mind is working, Satan has finished work. Nobody feels that way, Abby. Is anybody that feels that way? No, because your mind is, you think your mind is operating normally. Amen. If you're me, shout hallelujah. But what the Bible says is that you need to pull the strongholds that are down or that have already been erected. You need to pull them down. I love this teaching, though. I really love it. I don't know if you love it or if you want me to rush and go away. So, the implications of this thing are quite scary. Well, it shouldn't scare you because there's hope. But the implications of it are quite scary, that the way you are thinking as at now is not good enough. Amen. The way your mind is operating now is not good enough. Satan, it's not just that it needs to be improved. It's not an improvement thing. It's that it needs to be radically demolished, because that way of thinking is not God. If you are thinking like God, you know, there's something that Jesus told me. He said that, look, see, when I was 12 years old, he told me to me personally, he said, when I was 12 years old and I was really thinking of serving God, that thing is not, it's not because I was intelligent. You know, most of us think that Jesus was like Superman, you know. I don't know if you know what I'm talking about now. You know, as a baby like this, if you just look at it like, yeah, it cannot blow. You know, that's not, don't imagine Jesus that way. Jesus was a, I tell you the truth. I tell you the truth. I'm not lying to you. Jesus was normal, like you and me. I tell you the truth. I'm not lying to you. If Jesus disobeyed God, he will have died. I mean, the real death or spiritual death. Again. But anyway, my point is that it's not just that he was 12 and already thinking of serving God and, you know. It was not a fluke. You get. If your mind is working by 12, you too, you'll be like that. Amen. Are we together? Huh? By 18, what was I thinking about? What was I thinking about? When did I get born again? I think I got born again at 18, yeah. You know. By 17, what was I thinking about? I'm trying to remember. It's been a long time. I can't remember. It's been such a long time. You know? I really can't remember. I'm trying my best to remember. What was I thinking about? As well. I genuinely can't remember, which is a good thing. It's a very good thing. I can't remember. I do know, however, that one time when I was young, I used to think maybe 14, 15 or so, was the time I wanted to be a rapper. Yeah. You can't believe it, Abby. I wanted to be a rapper. I wanted to be a rapper. You know. Which is not a bad thought. It's a worthy profession. if you have the talent for it. You know. That one I can remember. can remember that one. So this would be a rapper. This time I've used to write lyrics. Yes, that's the right lyrics. That one didn't last though, because writing lyrics is not easy. I tell you, shit, it's not easy. Maybe it was now during this AI time. I'll just use AI to be writing all my lyrics for me. It was not easy, you know. And proper rap lyrics are different from song lyrics. No rap lyrics has to rhyme. You have to make it complicated rhyming, like, ah, that thing. That thing is not, your head just be paining you. As I respect rappers, they're very intelligent people. If you can be good, not nonsense rap. Many rappers that you think are good rappers are nonsense, you know. But if you can manage to be a very, very good rapper, you're a very intelligent person. That thing is not, the brain work to do that thing is huge. So I'm talking about this Kendrick Lamar, all those ones. They are very intelligent people. Amen. So, anyway, Sha, my point is that if your mind was working well, I assure you by now what you are thinking about will be very different. I assure you. Like, I can guarantee it to you. You understand? Please, Tapa. I don't know if she's sleeping. Mary. Faith, sorry. Sorry, it's teaching. You have to endure it. Yeah, you have to endure it. Are we good? Are we together? So, you need to pull down strongholds. Say, I need to pull down strongholds. How do strongholds operate? Strongholds operate en masse in cities. In locations. Amen. Strongholds in the mind, they operate en masse. They are massive operations. It's not, Satan doesn't work on one person. Satan works on a community of people. That's why people have patterns in behavior. Igbo people like money. You know, those kind of things, all those stereotypes. That's one of the manifestation of those patterns, you know, where you be seeing those kinds of behaviors. Are we together? And they are concluded before you become a teenager. Every pattern, everything that Satan is going to sow into your life, he's going to sow it before you become a teenager, while you are still a little child. He's going to put it on your inside. Are we together? That's why Satan is very huge on entertainment. Are we together? Are you with me? Yeah, you are losing me. Maybe some of you that still listen to secular music and what nonsense, maybe this would help you. Because maybe if the, you need to drop it, if that one is not working, maybe this one will help you, you know. So just hear me. Maybe to make logical sense to you as to why you need to stop some of those habits. So, have you ever asked yourself, why is it that anything we want to do in this country, NIN registration, SIM card registration, JAMB registration, WAEC registration, most of the people register 1 week to the event? Have you noticed that thing in Nigeria? You've noticed that thing, have you? Amen. Have you ever asked yourself, why is it that? You know, that is unique to us as Nigerians. It's not like that everywhere in the world. Do you know? If you don't know, I'm telling you. Or you might not know because, you know, you've not been, or you've not interacted, which is, I wish, you know, I really wish we can, we'll get there, don't worry, we'll get there. Maybe some of you will send you to Zimbabwe for 2 months to go and work in the church there. So at least you will gain, not to go and enjoy you, to go and work. So maybe there's a church in Zimbabwe. We'll send you there for 6 months and you'll come back. You know, is that not a good thing? It's a good thing, no? It's a good thing. So maybe most likely we'll get there eventually. But the point is that you might think that thing is innocuous. So you might think that thing is, let me check what the meaning is so that I'll be sure that, because I want to ask you what's the meaning, check it. Or me, I want to check that so that I won't mislead you. Yeah, got it. Innocuous. You can search for it. Joshua, I want to say it. Let's give Joshua the mic. Habakkuk, let's give Joshua the mic.
Hallelujah. It means not harmful or offensive.
Not harmful or... I think now it's hot. Is it hot now? Okay, it's hot. Let's reduce this one to 16 or something. So you might think that it's an innocuous trait, meaning it's just a thing, you know. It's just a thing that we do as a people, you know. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 Huh? You might think it's just an, you know, a harmless thing. It's just a small thing that, it's a Nigerian way now. People, you know, and that's the way we talk about it, for instance, that, you know, now people just, it's last minute, you know. But I tell you, it is not. Hallelujah. Huh? It is most likely the reason why you are poor. That thinking pattern. Amen. Why? For you to be wealthy, you need to be able to plan well. Are we together? Yes, are we together? Yes, no matter how much you make, if you don't plan well, it will be like demons are chopping your money. Which is why, you know, for instance, now a lot of people are excited with this summer academy now. This excitement that you're excited is different from last year. Last year, we started planning for that thing, and I swore in my life that thing will never happen with anything I'm involved with. We started planning for that thing in like 3 weeks or so, you know. Because people would just be saying, there's time now. Time will come. Amen. Amen. Now, I tell you for a fact that thinking pattern is not based on random. What the knowledge of scriptures tells us is that every stronghold is set up by Satan. So the same way the servants of that farm, they say, who did this? Because it's looking like, people don't really know who did this. When somebody with experience looks at it, he would identify that this is actually Satan. Amen. And that thinking pattern is linked to many things. It's linked to how you will marry. It's linked to how you take your career. And the fantastic thing about this thing is that if you don't identify this thing and work on it, you will still be speaking in tongues, having revelation. And you'll be used by God. God will use you. God will reject you. But you just notice that in a particular area of your life, you are lacking. Amen. Now, I don't know. If there is any area of your life where people consistently complain about the same thing, that you're always late to work, something like that, and you have an excuse. The reason why I'm late to work is that there's traffic. You know that, okay, you don't know, because you've not been in that situation before. Or maybe your own is always, you're always last. Anything you do, even when they are, maybe people are doing one way, it's when you do one way that they will catch you. You know, some people are like that. They're always catching you. Always, your own will never work. You know? Always having bad luck. You know? Amen. Hallelujah. What I'm saying is serious, though. It might be like I'm joking. I'm just talking small, but what I'm saying is very serious. If you are in that situation, I tell you for a fact that Satan is doing you. You might be enjoying church, okay? You might be pleased with God as per you are enjoying your life. But I tell you for a fact that Satan is doing you. Or Satan has already done you. Let me put it that way. He's not doing you. He has already done you. He has already finished his work. His work, he has built his stronghold. His stronghold is already producing the results in your life. Eh? And he has gone away. And you're just admiring his work from afar. Amen. This is why we think that people change when they get money. I mean, you know, like, we usually think it as money made him crazy. No. Money did not make him crazy. He was crazy. They just didn't activate it yet. The way his own software was that, don't worry. We have finished this thing. When money comes, it will manifest this one. But it was already done since. Are we together? Some of you, as you are like this now, the moment you leave this country, the way you are like this, you backslide. It won't take 6 months. Are we together? Are we together? It won't take you 6 months. It has already been set. In fact, what we are doing here is that we are trying to redeem the time. We are trying to make sure that let us solve as much as we can before you hit some milestones. Are we good? Because if we don't hit some levels of victory, what has been sown, when it begins to manifest. So in this country, when you see, you think you have seen feminists yet. That's never, when you see men that hate women, it's coming. The seed has already been sown. When you see male chauvinists, I don't know if I've heard that word before. Okay, when you see, when that thing begins to manifest, don't be shocked. We told you here first. But when you begin to see men that will hate women, I mean hatred, you get, hate women, like you can just go around and start slapping women. You know, women are useless. Because it's not nice, the turn of the women. Abi, no? It's the turn of the women to say they hate men. Abi? Okay. When men start their own, which we've already started. Huh? I guess you understand what I'm saying. Are you fully... I don't feel... If you're with me, shout hallelujah, please. Hallelujah. Okay. How do I know, for instance, you are going to get to a point in time where typically by the time you are 25, you should have had at least 5 abortions? The average girl. How do I know that? I know that because of what you are watching now. Okay? It's like for like. It will manifest eventually. You get? Are we together? You know, addiction for me is different from addiction for you. If I become addicted to porn now, is different from if you become addicted to porn. It's still addiction, but it's different. What I mean by that is that there is a kind of life I've lived, you get, that is still stable in a certain way. Huh? What I know is coming, which is already here, is that a lot of your friends would prefer to masturbate than fornicate. Do you get what I'm saying? Meaning, there'll be woman, no. Woman, there's no issue. Woman has agreed. But you won't say, I hate women. I would prefer to masturbate. Even for women, too. So a man will say, they are not lesbians, though. They are actually genuine. They are not lesbians. But they will say, I hate men. I want to go and sleep with another woman. Are we together? And what I'm saying is not extreme. You get? Now, how is this happening? Because of what Satan is sowing. Just look at what the children are watching. You can tell what the next 10 years will be like. Are we good? Are we good? So, why am I saying all this? I'm saying all this because you need to be very, very circumspect. You know that one now? Okay. Have I made you people sad? Okay. You need to be very, very aware of how you're thinking. You need to, if you will understand me, this would really, really help you in your life. You need to learn to interrogate your thoughts. What did I say? Interrogate your thoughts. Huh? I tell you for a fact, you are not thinking the right way. Enough. Huh? In many areas of your life, you are not thinking the right way. And that's not an insult, you know, because like I said, I've already taught this whole thing. Satan has already started that since. Again, so it's not like it's your fault. If you want to blame people, you blame my generation. We're the ones that are serious. Or serious, rather. Oh, no, not my generation. The generation a little bit above my generation. So, but even if there's even all those one of vices in the society, there's that one. Eh? Then there's now the one that came from your lineage. Are we together? Are we together? Meaning, the way you people think in your family. Amen. Amen. I tell you the truth. You need to interrogate it. Never say this is how we do things. I beg you, don't use those kinds of languages. Huh? Wake up every day. I'll tell you a prayer that you should be praying consistently. But never accept your thinking. I tell you the truth. Never accept it. How you, down to how you even cook food in your house. Are we together? Are we together? Yeah. Don't accept it. Interrogate it. Attack it. That's why God exposes you to things that are beyond you, so that you can learn from those things and take those things. Are we good? For instance, I was talking about the thinking of waiting to last minute to get something done. You know, if you always, let me transform it to a prayer so that you understand how serious it is. May you not always be the last to get things done. Amen. Do you now understand? Do you get? Now, that prayer, you say amen, but it won't work if you think it's okay to wait till last to get things done. You will always be the last. You get my point? Even down to marriage. You'll be seeing a girl like this. I'll propose to her next month. Are we together? Go and marry. I'm not ready yet. Go and marry. I'm not ready. But why you say that? You have someone that you're really eyeing, know. I'm not ready yet. I'm not ready yet. I'm not ready yet. When they now, because I've said this happen multiple times, when they now go and carry the woman that you like, you now start saying, you know, on the girl's wedding day, you know, start saying, you know, I just wish, you know, I wish you well in your future, you know. I wish we could have been more than this, but you know, I'm happy for you. And, you know, nonsense. Nonsense human being. You know, it will happen, but it will happen to you in Jesus' name. Amen. You understand? I tell you the truth, though. This thing, it affects you. Huh? Or you can't be decisive. You're always here. You know, you're always changing your mind. You are here today. Tomorrow you are here. Today you are here. Tomorrow you are here. There's somebody that I've been trying my best. I don't know. I've been praying to God. Maybe people should start praying with me because this warfare is too much. I've been trying my best to get this guy to stick to something. If you say you want to do something, do it. Just stick to it. Today, I want to be astronaut. Tomorrow, the Lord is telling me that, you know, I want to be a shoemaker. Huh? Are we together? Yes, next tomorrow, you know, I'm just trusting God. You know, God, I'm really trying my best. I'm praying to God because I really need God to walk through me and walk through my ministry. I believe that God has many things in store for me. Okay, we have heard. We're coming for Wednesday Bible study meeting. We'll not see you. Huh? Now, if you cannot be stable in your mind, you will never see success. Because the, like I've told you, if you're going to be wealthy, you're going to have to plan. Or the larger principle is that success in life is built off of stability. Everybody say stability.
Stability.
We need to know where you are. That's why we always ask, where are you? We need to always, at every point in time, know where you possibly are. Do you get my point?
Yes, sir.
You need to be stable. This is what you do with your life. This is what you are attacking. This is what you are not attacking. If not, you will not excel. Amen. So you need to always interrogate what you are thinking. The other thing you need to do is that you need to expose your mind to the Word of God. This is very, very important. You need to be a student of the Word of God. The only people that achieve this thing, there's a real way to achieve it, is to be a student of the Word of God. There's a semi-way to achieve it, is to listen to messages. Listening to messages for this one is not the main thing, because it is not, messages are not equated to your own personal reading of the Bible. Are we together? For this one, you need to read the Bible. That's why it was printed. Are we good? This one attacks the strongholds of knowledge. Meaning what you know. Are we together? Are we together? What you know. This one attacks those strongholds. It is true what you learn here that you will use to change your mind. Are we good? And so you need to be committed to taking this Bible in. This Bible needs to be your university. Are we good? Are we good? You see, don't be deceived. You can go through Christian life without being a student of the Bible. You can. Many people do. You can. You can exist. But you will be defeated. I tell you the truth. You'll be defeated. You need to take it in. And it's good that it's that way, because it's only for people that are determined. The same way you are determined to pray, you have to be determined to read your Bible. You have to be determined. Are we together? That's the knowledge that makes you godly. That's where it comes from. If you're not determined to read your Bible, you will have the knowledge of this world in your heart. And that knowledge will always produce evil and wickedness. It will always produce it. It will be by default. Even when you are having good intentions, you will still be walking evil. You will still be walking evil. Your father did not, anybody that has issue with their parents here, there's nobody that desires to be a bad father. I tell you the truth. There's nobody that desires to be a bad mother. It's lack of knowledge. You don't know how to do it. Are we together? And when you see the failures in your parents, understand that you are already set up for those failures. Don't blame them. It's foolish to blame your parents. I tell you the truth. If your father is a drunkard, it's foolish to say this man is a drunkard, because you are already a drunkard. Children, there's DNA of the flesh, as per you will look like your father. There's DNA of the soul. The same things that your father fought with, you will fight with them. If your father battled lust, that thing is waiting for you. You will just notice that the way your life is going in the direction of lust. I'm telling you the truth. It's just that now you are being deceived. Because when people get old, you know, they'll look like they've been old for a very long time. But I tell you the truth, people, some of you, that your desire to just be exploring, you know, your mother too, when she was your age, she too, she was a funky babe. I tell you the truth, I know you can't imagine her like that, you know, but I tell you the truth, she was once like that. Again, it's not today that bad life started. Yes. Don't be deceived though. In 1960, they've been fornicating. Are we together? Yes. Even in the days of Kabiesi, people have been going to bush to fornicate. Though. Don't think that bad human behavior just now that morale started dropping. Amen. 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 So, don't waste time arguing. I tell you the truth. I tell you the truth. Don't waste time arguing. Oh, my father is this, my mother is that. Huh? You are like that too. I tell you the truth. He's already there on ground. He's waiting for you. So you have to start fighting that thing. You have to start rejecting that thing. Some of you, if you were to just manage to go and check, you will find out that the same issues, maybe with drunkenness, you are like the fourth in line. Your great-grandfather was a drunkard. Your grandfather was a drunkard. Your father was a drunkard. They are waiting for you. You understand? Amen. Amen. And the work is via soul. So Satan will finish the work in the soul and then it will just go away. And the thing will be perpetuated. Most divorced people who are parents of divorces. Do you understand? Yeah. At times you just see in the family, maybe one or somebody here belongs to that kind of family. All the girls are wayward. You just maybe one person. That's the one that is shining light. The rest, children outside wedlock. And it's because of the thinking. Amen. Amen. You know, if you, I'm using physical things to explain it so that you will understand. Me now, I went to school. For instance, some of you now, you don't think your understanding of what you can achieve in school. Like I even go to school. So I know there might be some people here that are contemplating going to university. See your church mind. Is there anybody here that does not want to go to university? Your church mind, no judgment. You don't want to go to university. It's not. I expect most of you to not want to go to university because it's the time. Let me see now. Raise it. It's 2024. I'll be shocked if all of you want to go to university. So that, because this education, people don't know apartheid. I don't know what kind of education is that one. So please raise your hand. Let me see. Okay. So, you see, lots of times, I'm just using physical examples so that you can understand what I'm saying. Aside even going to school, your perception of what you can achieve in life is dependent on your parents and what they achieved in life. Some of you now, if you were to go to university, it would be a major testimony for your family that finally we have a graduate. Abi, some of you, if you were to go to university and come out with a 2-2, you are a disappointment. Do you understand what I'm saying? Do you get what I'm saying? Now, that's thinking pattern is simply just as a result of your environment and what you inherited from your parents. Just hear what I'm saying. I'm not saying what I'm not saying. Just hear what I'm saying. Okay? So, for instance, now, I graduated with a 2-1 in math. My wife graduated with a 2-1 in microbiology. Huh? Now, my daughter, there's already an unspoken expectation. It doesn't need to be said that in this house, we excel in university. Or that in this house, we excel. Do you get what I'm saying? Now, because there's that expectation, there is a lifestyle that is not said, but it's expected. Meaning that the people growing up in the house, they'll just be growing up in a house where they'll just find out that it's natural to go and read. Do you understand what I'm saying? It won't be an issue. Do you get my point? It won't be like, oh yeah, go and read. You've not read today, Abi. Pa, pa, oh yeah, go and read. It won't be like, it'll just be part of the natural way the house is growing up. Because it's my lifestyle, it's my wife's lifestyle. We know how to excel. So it'll just be, okay. In fact, it'll even be fun. Do you understand what I'm saying? Some of these people that are always carrying straight A's, they will carry, you know, they're not suffering in their house. Do you get? It's part of they're enjoying it. You know, they're enjoying it. Some people take it so hardcore that by 13, they're already doing 100 mass equations per day. And they will just be enjoying it. It will just be normal, you know. However, for a house that you've not seen that kind of thing before, failure too will be embedded in the culture. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Yeah. Failure will be embedded in the culture. It will just be normal to fail. Amen. Amen. Are you people hearing what I'm saying? What did I say? Failure will be embedded in the culture. It will just be normal. For example, I can tell based on how you watch TV and what you watch on TV, I can tell the quality of your parents. What did I say? How you watch TV, what you watch on TV. Some of you, your parents have never told you, go and watch CNN so that you can learn about apartheid. I'm serious. It has never occurred to you. In fact, your parents, what they see as breakthrough is that they paid money during December Christmas period so that I can watch MTV. Abi now? Am I lying? Am I lying? No, sir. Ah, so I'm lying? No, I could be lying. I could be lying, you know. Or maybe I might be inaccurate. Amen. My point is that all of you have not grown up in homes where your parents were particular about what you will watch. Some of you, they just, oh yeah, TV, watch TV. They will leave, they will come back 3 hours later. Do you understand what I'm saying? Now, that experience is the kind of experience that will make you, and it's not a money thing, no. This TV thing I'm talking about, it's not a money thing. It's the kind of experience that will make you naturally grow up with. Or what I'm saying is that you will not know that you are naturally growing up in a place that is altering and affecting your mind negatively. You won't feel it. You won't know it. Huh? It'll just be your normal direction. Amen. Another example. Some of you now, in your mind, in terms of what you project, you know, or let me not use you guys. You know, one thing I've noticed is that, you know, in my career place, one thing I've noticed is that people who operated in a particular world have an expectation that before you get to a certain level, you need to be of a certain age, right? It's the reason why you will hardly see young people, even in politics, being in top positions. It's rare. What's normal is that you see very old people being leaders, and then young people will be social media warrior. You know, that's the job they give to young people. Go and attack political opponents on social media. Or they'll give you the job of distributing food during rally. You know, that kind of thing. Now, because you have grown up in a society where that is the norm, your understanding of leadership or your understanding of achievement is gated to age. Some of you have already thought that I'll become a millionaire when I'm 45. Are we together? Meaning, your normal ground thinking is that, okay, that's even if you're even thinking that I can be a millionaire. But your normal ground thinking is that it's when I turn 45 that I'll be a millionaire. It's when I turn 45 that I'll be in this position in life. Do you understand what I'm saying? However, it's not everybody that is thinking that way. Huh? In this country, who knows when Gowon became, let's search it, because I don't think we know the age. Someone should search. When did Gowon become president of Nigeria, military head of state of Nigeria? Amen. Are we together? In this Nigeria, are you guys listening to me? In this Nigeria, somebody had the capacity to become the president at 31. 31, oh. I'm older than 31. Do you understand? Do you get what I'm saying? Right? So now the question is, what's in that guy's mind that he can aspire to leadership of a country like Nigeria at 31? Amen. Now, if you are going to be the president of Nigeria at 31, how would you be thinking at 18? Do you think it's 22 that you start thinking serious? Are we together? So, I'm just trying to say that, you know, all of this is still the word. Is you need to see and understand and get the knowledge. You see, the word of God, what we say is knowledge, is like, I know you get my point. Let me not start explaining something else. But the point is that as that knowledge begins to enter you, that's when you are really changing. You are really changing when your thinking starts changing. Not when you start getting passionate. Again, it's good to be passionate. I love Jesus. That one is good. But when you are really changing, is when your thinking starts changing. And it will show in your demeanor. It will show in how you carry yourself. It will show in how you talk. Are we together? So you can't just, I'll be lying to you, which is what Many people, unfortunately, do. You are a royal generation. Amen. Royal generation is not by amen. You get my point, right? It's about thinking like a royal person. Hallelujah. So, the word of God. The last I will speak about is exposure. Exposure to other men. Everybody say this: an exposure to other men. Yes, exposure to other men. This one is also very foundational. If you don't get the word of God well, when you are exposed to other men, you will make a mess of it. Now, when God wants to bless you, one of the very first things he will do to you is that he will introduce you to somebody that is greater than you. Okay? The point is that person will train you, and that person will show you how to be doing life. Are we together? It's always that way. Okay? This person could be your, obviously, it should be your pastor, it would be maybe somebody in church. But my point is that God will always introduce you to somebody that is greater than you. And then you will be exposed to a new way of organizing or doing things. When you are exposed to that way, I beg you, cooperate with the plan. Don't fight it. Cooperate with the plan. You get? What did I say? Cooperate with the plan. Don't fight it. You get? If you fight it, you are telling God you don't want to be great. Especially because the first introduction, later on, the introduction will be good. It will be joyous. The first introduction might not be joyous. The first introduction can come with a lot of shouts. Are we together? Are we together? This is where many people miss it in life. Because you see, when you have lived a life where anything goes, nonsense people that are not doing anything, when you meet somebody in life that is going somewhere, the first introduction of their habits into your life is always like you're drinking agbo or something. You know, it's always a bitter taste. You know? Amen. You get? If you're used to sleeping anyhow now, you know, the moment you see somebody that will, why are you sleeping now? You know, it's a bit like that person wants to kill you. They say, why are you sleeping now? Stand up. Go and do this thing. Go and do that thing. A lot of people usually reject it and then go and say things like, they don't understand me. You know, I'm misunderstood. What are those things that we say? I'm misunderstood. They don't get me. Yeah, nobody knows me. Nobody really knows how I'm feeling. My mental health. Yeah, fantastic. My mental health. You know. All those things. People will start, and especially in these days where people have a lot of excuse, you know, therapy and all that stuff. Therapy has given people, if you know what therapy has done, you know, if you know what therapy has done to people, everybody now has an excuse. You know, no matter what is happening, oh, is that my parents treated me? Yeah, that's why. Yeah, trauma, you know. You are stingy, it's trauma. You are a wicked person, it's trauma. Everything is explained, everything is diagnosed. You know? As in has set us back 30 years. I don't even know where we'll begin to recover from in this modern society. Everything now, say sorry is trauma. You know? If only my mother paid my school fees. If only You know, my parents, my daddy never told me he loves me. You know, that's why I'm a prostitute. Nobody ever told me they love me. You get? Trauma is real, though. It's real. But when you are introduced to these things, don't use those things as excuses, because now it's time for healing. You get? Because actually, it's true. If your father trained you well, you will not be this angry. You know? You get? But unfortunately, we are where we are. And God has had mercy on you. So God now wants to bring you out of it. So God is now telling you that, okay, respond to this thing. Don't fight it. Amen. If you don't respond to this thing and you go and get comfort on social media, meaning you can't look for something else for comfort, it will be bad. It will be very bad. It will be very, very bad. So don't look for comfort in anything. Don't look for comfort in social media. Don't look for comfort in TV. Don't look for comfort in music. Don't use music to take your pain away. Are we together? Are we together? Yet. The part of the reasons why we are so addicted to music and entertainment in Nigeria is because we are poor. Usually, when you're very poor, you focus a lot on entertainment. Yet, it's the future of our society. Don't use entertainment to hide sadness. I guess you know what I'm saying. If you're sad, it's because of how you're thinking. You need to change how you're thinking. So please, I need to say this thing again. Don't use entertainment to hide your sadness. Don't use entertainment as an escape. Entertainment is a human creation. Why do we create it? Because we are empty inside. So we need something to make up for that emptiness. So when you need entertainment to be happy, to be excited, it's because your heart is empty of God. The way God created us, that's why typically when you are really on fire for God, you know, when you are really on fire for God, you wake up in the morning with song in your heart. You know that thing now? You just be feeling, oh, I love you. You know, you wake up with song, you know. When you are not on fire for God, it's better things you wake up with. But the way God created us is that it's internal joy. Joy is internal. Happiness is an internal thing. Music self is an internal thing. I guess you know what I'm saying. So it's not an external thing. We don't use externalities to make up for the deficits in us. It's very dangerous. You are giving Satan ground in your heart. As I've told you, whenever you are poor, you would always look towards entertainment. You know, it's poor people that watch TV a lot. It's a thing. It's a very sad thing, though. I tell you the truth. It's very sad. Because you see, TV and phone is a lie. It's the nature of the medium, of the channel, of the type of media. It's a lie. It's built in that way. Instead of check it now, all your posts is fake smile. I mean, there's nobody that was really smiling before they made that post. Before you make the post, you are serious because you need to set it up well. So everybody feels bad. Abina, if you want to do selfie now, you will be serious. Your real state is that seriousness. Then you now, then after. You get. It's fake. We're all just living fake life. It's fine. It's, you know, it's not fine, but it's some parts are fine, like LinkedIn. You know, we're all just thrilled and excited on LinkedIn, you know. Some of that is just nonsense, but you don't make it a huge thing. You are receiving fake information. Okay, you're receiving fake information. Especially TV, I tell you the truth. It's just fake. You get. So don't be, and it will make you stupid. I'm serious. It will make you stupid. It will make you stupid. I mean, the levels of stupidity we have in the world today is so alarming. People are stupid. I tell you the truth. People don't know anything. You know? It's a shame, I tell you the truth. It's a shame. People don't know anything. People can't say anything. What's in your mind? Not seen. You know? And it's because of all the rubbish we're watching. You know? For my generation, it was even TV. Now nobody's on TV. It's now social media that we're on now. And it's just making us stupid. It's making us, we're like zombies. You know, we're literally like zombies. And it's very painful. I don't like seeing it. You know, we're literally like zombies. We're just on our phone. You know? Amen. So please, you need to check how you think. It's very, very important. Don't be trivial with it, you know. If you have some, don't wait till last minute to register for that thing. It's not your portion that you'll be last. If you register late for that thing, I'm talking to the three people. If you register late for that thing, now what it will mean is that after classes have been allocated, we'll now be looking, can we take extra? That's where you will enter. You will enter into, can we take extra? You know? If you're last on the queue, is bottom of pots that you eat. Well, I mean, some people prefer bottom of pots, but, you know? You get my point? So be first, be number one. Make your mind up. Don't be doing like this, like this, like this. Make your mind quickly. Quickly make your, be decisive. Be a decisive person. In life, be decisive. It's better to be decisive and make mistake than to be doing flip-flop. If you make a decision, go. Again, you will correct it later. Go. Don't be, you know, don't be shy. But number one, always be there. Be at the front. You get? They say, who wants to do it? Raise your hand. I want to do it. Are we together?
Yes, sir.
Are we together?
Yes, sir.
That's how people think, oh. And that's how they get things done in life. Don't think that is in the kingdom that you stay at the back. People will have mercy on you and they will bring you to the front. In the world, if you stay at last place, people will kill you because... Are we together?
Yes, sir.
You get my point? Two of you, stand up. Let me use it as this example and we'll go to worship. Two of you now, let's assume two of you are, you could be colleagues. Maybe two of you are writers on the same team. You know, people are friends. You know, people are writers, people come to the office, you gist, you know, their office family, you know. It's very possible now that maybe the head writer role will become open. And then two of these people will need to apply. Now, if this guy should apply, and this one should say, my friend now, my friend, I know if he competes with my friend for this thing. This one will apply and take that salary and he will not be guilty. Are you hearing?
Yes, sir.
He will not feel guilty at all. In fact, this one can even say, I don't like the way I do things in this company. They should make two roles instead of one role. Let us be cool. Not knowing that behind the scene, he has submitted his CV. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So, if these two people are having sex, two of them need to apply. You apply, you'll be looking at yourself like this. I apply, you apply, I'll be. Okay, let's see what will happen. You understand? Whoever they give the job, okay, fine, you got the job. Not that you'll be feeling guilty. Why are you feeling guilty? It's not church. It's work. You understand? God has place for everybody in church. In the world, there's no place where people compete for position. Go and sit down. So I'm telling you, if you take the last, if you're always last, I know what I'm saying. If you are always last, it will manifest. You will always be thinking, oh, no now, no now. Or maybe when, brother, we stand up again. Brother, we stand up again. Then maybe you now, come stand up here. And this one will now keep on going up. So now keep on going up. This one will now say that, no, stay here. His example is not, you know. This one will now say that, you've forgotten us, so you have not joined them. You know, I have not joined them because, come down. This one will come after, no, come up. After they do meeting, by the time this one gets to top management, they will not start the meeting. They will not say, oh boy, money is not entering like that though. It's like, I need to lay off people. You know, you will not come down. You will not say that, you know, you will not say, This one will now say, this company is not like the way it used to be before. They don't care about us. They're not paying us money. They're not doing everything for us. This one will now be saying, this one that is about to fire this one, you'll now be saying, yes, even at that meeting, I was saying that thing. But they don't want to listen. You know these old people. All these old boys, the one that decided that you lay people off. Yeah. Amen. So me, I don't like people that are always last. You can go and sit down. Why will you be last when God wants to use you? Are we together? I don't like people that don't have ambition in life. Let me tell you the truth right now. I don't like people that... Me, I have ambition in life. I have ambition. Because God made me have a brain that is working. You understand? I have ambition. Are we together? Anything I do, just understand that I have ambition. Today now, they've given me another one. I'm already thinking of the city that I will build. Are we together? I have ambition. Do you get me? So please work on your mind, though. We're all working on our myself. I'm working on my mind, you know. But please don't. Let me pray for you. Father, I pray that every generational disease and malaise, by the power of your Holy Spirit, you shall deliver us from them. Every wrong pattern that we have learned, every false pattern of thinking that is hindering us, breaks now. In Jesus' name. Every pattern that is making sin to reoccur, Lord, it breaks now. In Jesus' name. You know, there's someone here, you need to have friends that are holy. That's the solution to your problem. You need to have friends that are holy. Don't pray too much about that sin. It's a girl I'm talking to. Don't pray too much about this. Be praying to God, but the solution is that you need to have friends that are holy. You need to have friends that are holy. You need to have friends that will inspire you. You need to have friends that are more spiritual than you. Again, that's the solution to your sin issue. Father, we thank you. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed.